welcome to The Grippers. Yes, we look at all things cricket here on The Grippers. It's going to be a great new show. It's our maiden show this afternoon. I'm Braden Ingram. I'm your host, but I've got a tremendous guest and a tremendous co-host with me. He's a coaching magician, or at least that's what I refer to him as.
Thanks,
Simon Helmet joins me. Welcome to you, Simon.
Righto, thank you very much, and looking forward to being a part of The Grippers. We have a great guest we're going to be speaking to today. We're going to talk all things cricket. There's lots of cricket going on. The AFL has finished.
Yep.
It was a fantastic finish to the season. My Blues didn't do that well, but otherwise, we're looking forward to what's happening in all things cricket domestically, locally, and of course, internationally.
Yeah, we'll get onto plenty of things, of course. We'll discuss the Bangladesh tour, which is no longer going ahead. The Matador One Day Cup is underway as we speak. But first of all, I suppose we've got to talk about, and before I forget, Chris Rogers is going to join us as well. So a tremendous guest there. The former Australian Open just signed for Somerset for 2016 county season. So we'll have a chat to him, a bit of commentary work for him as well. He's just everywhere, that man.
It's all opening up for Chrissy Rogers now after he's not facing that 156 grand ball at pace.
That helps. That always helps. Get away from that as quickly as you can. And when you get to that age, I feel, Helmo, now, we'll start off, what have you been up to? Now, well, we know you've been all over the shop. You do a little bit of coaching in India, a little bit in the West Indies, a little bit in Australia. I believe, though, it's been a pretty successful couple of months for you over the Australian winter.
Look, it has been, Brado. Over in the IPL during April and May with the Hyderabad Sunrisers, with assisting Tom Moody over there. Yep. Wasn't a great season for us. Under the captaincy of David Warner, and I'll say this now, his captaincy was absolutely fantastic. Yep. And I'm not surprised that he's the vice-captain of Australia right now. So finished sixth there out of eight teams. Not fantastic.
No,
need to make sure we improve that next year, Brado. Otherwise, we'll have some more time on my hands. But went over to Trinidad. Yep. In the CPL, the Caribbean Premier League, a very good league, some great cricket, some of the best cricketers around the world playing there. Had the great Jack Callis play in our team as an overseas player, and he was fabulous for us. And halfway through the season, we were one win, two losses, a washout, and we were struggling. We like Kiwi, whatever that Melbourne Cup was.
Yes.
We came from the back, and we worked our way up, and we got through the field. And all I'll say is celebrating at Brian Lara's mansion at the end of the game after we won the final.
If you don't mind.
Brado was probably one of the highlights of my coaching career, but it was certainly great to work with Dwayne Bravo, who's going to be back with the Renegades this season, his brother Darren, and like I said, Jack Ellis.
And you swiped a bit of rum while you're there, I believe, as well, out of Brian. Just a little bit?
Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, just one. Just one or two.
He can afford it, surely.
He can afford more than that. So it's been great. It's been fantastic. And I'll be there again next season. And couple of months off now, working with the Surrey Hills under-12s, under-14s.
That's
the
gig.
That's the big job at the moment. And then come December with the Big Bash, I'll be assisting my good mate Damien Wright at
Dream
the Hurricanes.
Team, back together.
Yeah, so get on the cane train.
Now, I just want to ask you quickly about the CPL.
Yep.
West Indies cricket at the moment, it's getting a pretty bad rap. I mean, how is the tournament, though, as a whole? As you said, very good players. But you know, is it a really good place to be, a good place to play cricket for that 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks that you're over there?
The CPL. The 6 weeks is the best time you can be in the Caribbean. It's great cricket, great people around. It's well financed. I think they're going to have a higher salary cap for next season. It's going in the right direction. The rest of the West Indies cricket is not.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we've just had the coach suspended for comments that he made about the selection process. And he's a really good fellow, Simo, the new coach of the West Indies. He used to be the coach of Ireland for nine years.
For the World Cup,
and played many games, more so in the one-day format back in the 80s and 90s for the West Indies. And so it's a real shame that he's been put out for the time being. One of the selectors actually taken over the coaching job. Baptiste, I think his name is. Infrastructure, politics, a little bit of animosity between the former or past players and the current players, and how much money they're getting. And they just don't have much money there. Listen, Braden, some of the grounds and wickets that they train and play on, I wouldn't have the Surrey Hills under-12s playing or training on them.
Really?
The finance is just not there. The support's not there. They're trying to improve the coaching. I think that is starting to improve. But they've got the players. Don't get me wrong. They've got the players. Yeah. They just need a bit more support.
So that money for the CPL, is it basically comes from that IPL setup? You know, it's that 5-6 weeks of glamour. So they're able to get that money, and then just everything else is sort of ignored. Is that sort of the way it goes?
There's an owner. There's an Irish owner. Right. I don't know his name. He's obviously had lots of money.
Yeah.
He runs the competition. There's six teams. There's six coaches. Every team has a squad of 15. There's a marquee West Indian player. Chris Gayle's captain of Jamaica. Kyron Pollard's captain of of Barbados, and you know Dwayne Bravo's with the Trinidad and Tobago Red Steel. So some super cricketers. And we know the West Indian players, they play big bash cricket all around the world, don't they? Here in the IPL and the CPL. And they have a good drip feed of international players coming in. We had Johan Botha, Cameron Akmal, young fella Delport from South Africa, and of course Callis. But lots of good players have gone on and playing the competition. I think the competition is going to grow as this T20 phenomenon continues to grow.
It's going all right, that's for sure. So it's been a busy winter for you, I suppose, then.
Always nice to be in the summer in other countries.
Yeah, exactly. And we're getting good weather now in Australia as well, just in time for the cricket season to kick off. So we're doing all right.
Now, you've been away as well. You you weren't here in Australia.
No.
You were off watching the tight match. It was like a soccer match, 2-3 over in the Ashes.
Yeah, it was just the game was already over when they kicked the final goal, but that's all right.
Okay.
No, it was over for SEN. Covering the series, it's a tremendous experience over there. It's a completely different type of cricket inside the ground in terms of the atmosphere. You come from these big stadiums here in Australia, the MCG, the SCG, the Gabba, and then you go to these smallish grounds, 15,000, 20,000 people, and it's pretty amazing. And, you know, Lords gets such a big rap, but the two grounds that I loved the most were by far probably Edgbaston and Cardiff.
Okay.
It is like a soccer crowd there. I walked up I think Ian Bell was about to hit the winning runs in the third test at Edgbaston, and the singing there and Mitchell Johnson was copping a fair bit of flack. You just don't get that experience in Australia. It was something amazing.
Now, you watched every single ball of the Test Match series, and there's plenty of commentary, or nearly. I think you've watched every single ball.
We'll go with that.
We've had plenty of commentary on why the Aussies went down 2-3. What were your thoughts? What did you see when you were over there?
It was frustrating to watch, as I'm sure it was for many Australians. I mean, we know it was poor batting at times, and the bowling probably didn't cop as much flack, I think, as it should have. I mean, Mitchell Johnson, he probably copped too much flack. He bowled, I thought, quite well in Cardiff for no reward, bounced back at Lords, and then throughout the series again, Edgbaston copped a bit. And I thought the reason why I think the bowling and he copped it was he wasn't taking wickets, but the reason why was he was having to basically bowl defensively because Mitchell Stark and Josh Hazlewood were often leaking runs.
Yeah.
And so he really didn't have that choice to bowl like he has in Australia and in the South Africa series as well, where he can just go for three or four overs and just pelt down.
Yep.
He couldn't bowl that attacking style because Australia were already leaking too many
That's
runs.
That's why we needed Peter Siddle in the side. But anyway, that was... we got there eventually, but like you said, it was all over. But a great experience. Are you going to Bangladesh? Or actually, no, that's not on, is it, mate?
No, I would have been. I know a mate who actually had booked flights and hotels and everything. So an ABC guy. So I think they're in a bit of strife. Yeah, he's in a bit of... Don't know what he's going to do there.
Yeah.
So luckily, I wasn't in that boat. But... it is a shame that the series has been called off. I think Australia really did need that. I suppose just a warm-up to go into, that's not to discredit Bangladesh, but to give a chance under Steve Smith before you head into the New Zealand series, which I think is a pretty important series.
Yeah.
Ignoring the day-night test, New Zealand are really an up-and-coming side at the moment. They've got some pretty impressive players led by Brendan McCullum, and you want to really perform on that first day-night test as well. So they miss out on that, and looking towards India and Pakistan in future away series, you really want to have that experience on the subcontinent, which Australia really haven't performed well in lately. So it's disappointing in that regard, but you understand why it's been called off. It's the right decision in the end.
Oh, no doubt. Your safety is the most important thing, but really disappointing for guys like Andrew Fekete and others who were given their opportunity after outstanding Shield seasons last season. They would have been itching for their opportunity to go out. They'd play anywhere to play for their country. And those guys, I think, have missed a chance because we were going to rest some players and some players actually went down with injuries. So that was a shame. However... it's pretty tough conditions over in Bangladesh. A couple of them would be thinking, okay, I got a few extra weeks back here in Australia. And obviously, most of the players have gone in now and played in this one-day competition, which is good for our strength and for the development of our players in our domestic competitions.
Yeah, and I just want to ask you about that. So the Matador One-Day Cup, it's about five or six games in now. We're really cracking. I think the CA11's played a couple of games now. It hasn't been ideal.
I wouldn't say a couple of games. A combination of one, maybe.
Yeah, that's a better description. They've copped the flak. They've been the talking point of this of the competition so far, and basically that they shouldn't be in there. And And I understand the argument, but I also understand that you want to bring up these up and coming players. It is the, you know, Greg Chappell, Troy Cooley, Graham Hick. They're the men behind it, and I think it's a really good idea. But maybe I would prefer to see a couple more players, squad like the Future Leagues, a couple of experienced players over 25. You know, even someone like you pull someone like a Michael Klinger out to captain the side. I mean, he's still going to get the same experience. He's still going to get to play Matador One Day Cup. You pull someone like that, a couple of players who have that experience, whereas you pull out this 23, 24-year-olds, even younger, who haven't really played even at state level, and they're playing against a New South Wales side that contains 11 international players at some stage during their career, and a Victoria side and a Western Australia side that are just vastly above in terms of experience. It's just a level too far.
Look, I think you might be right. And I think down the track, I'm pretty sure they've made a two-year commitment to this competition or concept. So you might be right. You could get a David Hussey to go and captain the team and help the younger players for an experience point of view. But I think it's outstanding. I think it's fantastic that we've taken the risk in playing teams, a younger team.
Yep.
They're going to get wiped a couple of times, but you know, maybe so they should. They're a bit stiff. The teams wouldn't have been as strong as we thought they were going to be coming into this first couple of rounds. They've gone up against, what is it, New South Wales, you know, with Mitchell Stark and James Pattinson from Victoria.
Yep.
They've been two pretty tough matches against Victoria and New South Wales. I think it's great that we give them ample opportunity. I think that we're going to grow from that and get better from that. Yes, we'd like them to be a bit more competitive, but I think you've got to start somewhere. And I think it's very easy for us to sink the boots in just because we look at the scorebook.
Yep.
But I commend Cricket Australia for putting in a concept like this, and I hope we give it its time, and let's assess it after 2 years, not just two matches.
And the one thing it does do is it probably gives the Matador One Day Cup a little bit of publicity. I mean, often this sort of thing, one day domestic cricket, maybe 15 years ago, because you had all the state players playing in it, you got a lot of publicity. And I think now with a lot of the international players coming into it and the CA11, more numbers are going to be up on Gem. We help grow the game, things like that. So I think although it's going to get this negative publicity, more people are going to know these younger player names, and then we might see a couple pop up in the T20, in the BBL and things like that, and then just grow the game from there.
People are talking cricket. Footy's finished. People are talking cricket and watching these youngsters with interest. That's probably the second most often asked question of us coaches. You know, who's coming through? Who are the players? Well, here we're seeing a group of players coming through. They might not be up to the standard yet, but yep. I'm sure over years we're going to look at these first two matches, and we're going to see which ones of these players actually come through and not only play for their state consistently, but also for their country.
Well, Helmo, now on the Grippers, we've got a pretty special first guest to kick off our maiden show.
The very first guest. So that'll be a trivia question one day, Brado.
It's a very good start. We've got the great Bucky Rogers, Chris Rogers. Thanks for joining us, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, mate, we believe you've been off for the last couple of weeks after the end of the Ashes. What have you been up to?
Just took some time out. Had a couple of trips into Europe. Actually, hung out with Peter Fiddle and a couple of them. So that was a lot of fun. And got back to Melbourne last Friday. So. It's just nice to be back in Australia, that's for sure.
Now, that wouldn't have happened to be the embedded team photographer from Getty Image. I believe Ryan Pearce, it was his wedding. Were you in Ibiza by any chance having a good time, mate?
Yeah, but, you know, it was all business. I was going for the wedding, of course. No, I mean, it was a fantastic trip, and, it worked out perfectly. And Ryan's a lovely guy. He's been following us around now for quite a few years, so he's quite close to the boys.
Bucky, we caught up for a coffee a couple of days ago. You look really relaxed. You're very happy with your decision in finishing with the Aussies. Was it an easy decision to make to retire from Test match cricket?
I don't think it's ever an easy decision because, you always want more, and it's, you know, such a privilege and an honour, and obviously it's enjoyable as well, But I felt I was ready. I think, you know, listening to guys who'd been before me, that they seemed to say that you know when you know. And I think I finished that fourth test, and I'd been probably, you know, juggling the decision in my mind. But then I knew I was ready, and I didn't really fancy getting hit in the head anymore at the time. So, I was happy to call it a day.
I wasn't going to bring that up, mate, but you did bring it up. So I'll just follow up on that one, Buck. So, You got one in the West Indies, didn't you, at training, and you didn't play in the Test matches there, and then you caught one in the English. Look, there's no doubt. I have the absolute admiration, as I always have, for you and how you played your cricket. But, you know, to face a ball coming at it, you know, at 140, 150 clicks, 156-gram hand ground, if you like, it's a bloody tough gig, isn't it, mate? How have you responded since those injuries, and do you still have any of those effects?
No more effects. At least I like to think so, but... yeah, I think the thing for me was, you know, I've always had to face the quick bowling and, yeah. and the bounces and those kind of things, but it was more just I felt my body wasn't quite reacting as quickly as it had been. You know, maybe my back was a bit stiff on my hips or yeah. my hammies or whatever, but just found it a bit harder to get out of the way of the bounces. And I think one of the games at Edgbaston, and Stephen Finn was bowling thunderbolts, and he bowled a couple, and I felt, you know, if they were online, I was cactus, really. So, that was in the back of my mind, and once you get to that point, I think it's probably time to really, you know, put your health first.
Yep. So, given that, Chris, was there a bit of a consideration not to continue on next year? You've signed for Somerset, your fifth county side. What's made you come back? Is it just the pure love of county cricket or the game, or what's made that decision to give it one last crack in county?
Oh, look, I think it's definitely easier. I mean, international cricket is, there's no hiding, really. I think yeah. In county cricket, you know, I can find ways to get myself through, and it's much a lifestyle as anything. You know, I still love the game and playing and everything that goes with it, you know, the change rooms, the camaraderie. But I felt like it was a nice way to go out, and I played a lot in England, and I actually played when I was 18, 19 in Devon, which is the county next to Somerset. So it almost feels like a fitting way to finish.
Buck, you must have been so pleased though that you finished your career playing for your country and opening the batting. There was probably a time there, mate, where you weren't sure the other next opportunity was going to present. So from a real positive angle, you must be so pleased and proud of your efforts and your ability to play for your country in your latter part of your career.
Well, Helmer, you probably listened to me whinge a few times about it.
I wasn't going to mention that, mate, but certainly did.
Yeah, I mean, there were some interesting times where it was it felt like that, you know, that it definitely wasn't going to happen, particularly at my age, but... to kind of get that second chance and make it count to an extent. You know, I felt I was relatively successful and, loved it and felt a part of the side and got to sing the song and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So, they're memories I'm going to have for the rest of my life and just grateful that opportunity came around again.
Yeah. Chris, you were awarded Australian Player of the Series at the end of the Ashes. I was standing about 20 metres away from you. I was just thinking at that time when you were awarded it, is it, at that stage, do you feel any great joy given that the Ashes have just gone down? Or, is it more of a couple of years down the track we get to reflect on that and be really proud of it?
Oh, look, you know, I'd be lying if I say I wasn't proud of that achievement. You know, it was challenging, and I fought hard, and to kind of get the recognition from the opposition, that's about as good as it gets. So apart from obviously winning the series, so you know it was a little bit bittersweet, but also something you know I can be proud of, and I still have that check in my house. I brought it home. So
your shout next time, Buck. Hey, Buck. So you've moved into a new phase of your career. You are going to play at Somerset, but you're up there with the Matador Cup, commentating today. I think I might have an inkling you're interested in coaching maybe down the track. But I reckon, mate, you talk about your footwork and moving to the fast-paced ball. I reckon one of the reasons why you've been so good at the top of the order. You're one of the best dancers that I've ever seen, Brado. You should see Chris on the dance.
I've heard stories.
He is outstanding. Do you reckon dancing in the stars down the track, mate, or something like that's going to be up your alley?
I wouldn't say no. That came up, yeah. Some pretty attractive people would do that.
No, all seriously, mate, you're doing some commentary today. Have you done much of that before?
No, not really. Yeah, so it's all brand new, but the guys have been pretty good and seem to be looking after me, so it should be a lot of fun.
Hey, Bucky, on the Matador One Day Cup, mate, I want to ask you about the CA11. We've had a bit of discussion on that. What are your thoughts on it as a concept? I mean, the feeling here is that, on my behalf, is that it's really good to get these young players in, but maybe they need a little bit more experienced heads, kind of like the Futures League. What are your thoughts on the concept?
Yeah, well, I chatted to Pat Howard a little bit about it and heard his views, and you know, there's a lot to like about it. I mean, you know, we pride ourselves on having kind of six states, but that limits opportunity. You know, the county system has 18 teams, and that just means guys get these chances to show, and people always stand up. So it's great for their opportunity, you know, and probably in the end we'll find blokes who do stand up, and it'll be good for them. But equally, you know, it might burn a few as well. But, maybe a few couple of experienced guys in there, but it's just not easy to do. So, we'll probably... probably a bit of work in progress, but I guess we'll see how it happens, you know, what comes of it in a few years.
Buck, one of your greatest attributes is the knowledge of your own game, your ability to recognise, you know, the mental and the technical techniques of players, and you've done a heck of a lot of work over your career, and you continue to grow and develop even into the latter stage of your career. Would you be interested in working with some of these younger players who are playing at the CA 11 or around the States and help them develop their game, not just technically but mentally?
Yeah, I mean, I love that, you know.
Yeah.
Helmo, you've seen that, I guess, with a few of the younger guys like Petey Hanscom and Hilly and, you know, a few of these other guys. And I always enjoyed being a part of their development. So, yeah, if that opportunity came up, then I'd definitely look at it and... But I guess the thing is, there's a lot of coaches going around at the moment, so we just have to be careful about how much information we give them and whether it's the right information. So, but definitely I'd like to be a part of it, that's for sure.
Bucky, you just mentioned Pete Hanscom. How far away do you feel he is away from getting into the Australian Test squad or some form of international cricket for Australia?
Not far, I think. There's just so much opportunity at the moment, and Petey's doing so many good things, and I think a lot of people in the right positions like him, so I have high hopes for him. But it's up to him now, you know. It's and the same for all the guys. I think performance is going to be the only currency now. So hopefully he can go well today and have a really good season and then get some higher honours.
And Chris, the Bangladesh tour, is it how much of a hindrance is it for the Australian tournament? We've been told it's been postponed, but most likely it's been cancelled. Is it a real setback given Australia's recent struggles in places like the subcontinent against India and Pakistan as well, especially given how young and how much of a transitional period this is?
Yeah, I think it's more a hindrance because it's a new side. There's a lot of new guys in the squad, and playing international cricket is tough, particularly early when you just don't understand it really. And this tour would have been good just to kind of bed all the blokes together and let the side develop. But you know, there's still going to be a lot of question marks going into the New Zealand series, and that's going to be a tough one. So. Ideally it would have been good to get over there and see those conditions again, but it just means that, you know, that we still don't know who's going to be in the side, and there's still some good opportunities in the meantime. So, it's going to be some tough selections coming up.
Well, we certainly look forward to that New Zealand series, and we look forward to hearing you, Chris Rogers, on GEM's coverage of the Matador One Day Cup. Good luck with that, mate, and thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great to have Chris Rogers chatting with us, the former Australian opening batsman, doing a bit of work on the Matador One Day Cup for GEM. Of course, you can catch all the games on cricket.com.au or also on GEM. Now, my first show's done and dusted. Good start, I reckon, hopefully.
Fantastic, mate. One of many.
Exactly. Good to get Bucky Rogers on the show. Plenty to talk about as we head into the International Summer of Cricket. Only a couple of weeks away. We'll keep an eye on the Matador Cup next week. But, Helmo, thank you, mate. I'll speak to you next week.
Catch you next week on the Grippers.